actually 2 weeks ago, when we were reading effectively chapter 5 on the section about respecting elders from verse 17 onwards. So I think we did quite a lot of sharing, and we talked about how that the elders were worthy of double honor because of their work in serving the church, and that the example that Paul gave about having the Old Testament saying that an oxen deserves to eat the return of their labors, from the fields they're actually treading, they should be also, they should be freely they should be freely allowed to eat. And that's kind of leads on to the fact that the elders are certainly in the base of how Paul never asked for or received money, because he didn't want to put a burden on churches there, and also to show that his motivation for serving was money orientated. And also in our church, we know that we also spoke, no one is paid. And I was reading that other churches have that similar following, where people are serving from their own means. This offers an environment where each person can come use their gifts and help to grow in the vision, help the church grow as well. And we also talked about it's not just the physical support, but also the spiritual support. And oftentimes it's more important. And then we also touched upon verses 3, accusation of an elder, that needs 2 or 3 witnesses before to come forward before accusing an elder. But if there was any there needs to be told in front of the whole congregation, so that others are aware. And in verse 20, we read that those that sin convict before all, that the rest may also have fear. And I think we also touched upon verse 21, where it talks about keep things without prejudice, and that's where we got to. And when I was just reading about that today, it kind of led me to kind of think about, in a court of law, there's no impartiality, where, you also have that reverence for, well, actually probably not so much now, but there should be a reverence for the judge, over everything. And I think similarly also, when we're serving, I think sometimes we forget that, this is the assembly of the living God. As we read it, chapter 5, verse 15, the pillar and face of the truth. And it is important. One cross reference I found was from James, chapter 2, and just the beginning, few verses. And the New King James Version says, beware of personal favoritism. And the verse is, says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges and eat with evil words? And then put down in verse 9, but if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by law of transgressors. And I think in Galatians we also read about how today, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. So in front of God, especially about church matters or you know, there needs to be, I guess we need to be aware that we don't have any like personal bias or show any favoritism, like for one versus another. Yeah, because, you know, I think, you know, in, just as, you know, every man, you know, when we face a judgment of Christ, you know, we're all judged separately and without any, you know, favoritism. In partiality, that kind of led me to kind of think about, you know, the judge. So, you know, we need to kind of be the same as well. I think that's kind of where we got to last time. But then, any of the young sheriffs, absolutely not.
I think in verse 20, just to add to what Alan just shared there. So the version which I have starts with the word solemnly charge you. And so you know that this is something which is very serious. And then I agree with everything which we've mentioned about not having bias or that spirit of partiality, particularly where you're in a position of leadership with the elder, that you need to make the right decisions, which people around you can't kind of find fault or can see that there's no bias there. But actually, it's more important than just the people who are around us in the church being able to see that it's without bias. But it's actually, it then goes on to say, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus and of his chosen angels. And I think when I was rereading this again, it reminded me that the things which we do in the church are not, well, obviously it's to benefit the brothers and sisters around us, but actually it's really to benefit Jesus and the Lord, and the things we do are for his glory. And the witness which we have goes so far beyond what people on earth can see. Because actually, even if you are doing something in a truly impartial and unbiased way, there will be people on earth who think you're being biased, and they will think that you're making a judgment call one way or the other, that and you kind of see it all the time. You see a woman, and the people think you have a bias, even if you don't, and you think you're just making the right decision. But actually, that's not important. The more important thing is that in the presence of God, that God knows and recognizes that the decisions and the things you've made have been without bias. And so everything that we do for the Lord. And I don't know, this has dropped a little bit, but then that is essentially what verse 23 is talking about. I know that this verse is used quite a lot to justify why it's okay for Christians to drink alcohol, but actually that's not the purpose of this verse. And the purpose of the verse is that in verse 23, where it talks about using a little wine something else, is so that, and well, the reminder here is that for Timothy to look after his health so that he can continue to be used in the work of the Lord. And so everything that we're doing, why isn't there just to make his meal taste a little bit better or whatever, is there to ensure that he's still able to be fit and used for the Lord. And so there's that really important thing there in these verses, in these sections, these verses, that everything we do is for the glory of the Lord and the Lord's work.
I mean, it says that verse 21 is a very solemn command, because it says, testify before God and Christ Jesus, that thou keep things without prejudice, doing nothing but my favor. And I was just thinking, these few days, it's so easy that we are so blinded that we can't see when we have prejudice or favoritism. And on the other hand, this is a very important matter before the Lord to carry out what Paul has written to him in the chapters before, that he has to do it without prejudice and favoritism. And it's very much, I find when I read it again this time, is to really, we need to go back to the Lord and ask the Lord to keep us, guard our hearts, and also at the same time enlighten us if there is such inclination inside us to have prejudice or to have favoritism. Then we really need the Lord to enlighten us. I mean, for Timothy standing in this position, being delegated, asked to do all these things, how he needs the Lord's watching over, and also very much someone who needs to keep in tune with the Lord. And in all this matter, not to take it lightly, just now we say it's a serious matter that he, and I think Paul emphasized here that it's before God and Christ and the elect angels. So very much reminding, I think for myself, reminding myself in a lot of things that we do, we really need to be in the light, under the light of the Lord, leading and guiding us, and to really have the heart that is right. I mean, Alan read about in James, where, you know, you tell this person sit here, you tell the other person stand there. Favoritism is seen outwardly, but it comes from the inside. This matter is the inside this person, there's already the prejudice and the favoritism. So it's very much the Lord needs to open our eyes to see what is in our heart, that we are not quick to be those to pass judgment or to do things, but get our hearts right in all that we do, because whatever is being asked of Timothy is a very serious matter. Because like you said, like it said, we do it in the presence of the Lord, and we want to do all things for the glory of the Lord and His work.
I think, I'm not sure that this was good. Remember, if we were in the sharing meeting last week, and there was one thing that was brought up, which is, in a way, for us to see clearly also in this verse. Because when it says that before God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels, we know that we are those men who will judge or do things according to our feelings, according to our seeing, because that's very natural to us. We can't deny that. You know, that I don't have any feeling to it. So the partiality of bias comes with our seeing, with our feelings. Now, if we are those who are always so inclined to this, without really stopping and thinking before God, what does it mean? It means, how does God feel? What does the Lord see? That should be the overriding thing. You know, that in every situation that we meet, whether we actually, to be before God and before the Lord and the elect angels, is to stop this and pass us. How would the Lord feel? Or what would the Lord see? It's not how we see or how we feel that is the overriding thing, because that's very natural for us. But then, as far as with the things in the church, we have to stop it. And consider and think and ask and come to that knowing that our thinking, our feeling is to be secondary.
And this about partiality, because like we've been sharing, we are those who are very easy to show favoritism. If we get on with somebody, then we show favoritism to them, and vice versa. And according to, and also our bias may be according to what we see. But I think what was shared on Saturday is also very reminding that it's not how we feel. I mean, we have all sorts of feelings, and it's not what others may think of us or feel towards us, because at the end of the day, it's how God sees it, isn't it? And how God feels, and we need to live before God And as we learn, you know, the Lord teaches us to discern what is right and proper, because in these verses it also talks about, you know, even elders, if something is wrong, you know, not just brush it under the carpet, so to speak, but also, but not easily rebuking them, but before two or three witnesses. That's because people can be very easy to judge, but we have to be very careful. And I think Jason mentioned verse 23, isn't it? Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and for thine often infirmities. So it's like, Paul, it's like a personal touch in a way, isn't it? To Timothy, you know, take care of yourself, look after your health. You know, have a little bit of wine if it helps your stomach. I mean, there's a thing about how some people use this maybe to justify drinking. But, I mean, as long as we don't get, you know, rowdy and drunk, I mean, the Lord turned water into wine so that everybody had a good wedding. So, yeah. This is just like a little personal, you know, he's teaching him about the church and how things ought to be. And for him to, you know, he's aware that Timothy's health isn't very good. For him to, you know, take care of himself, sort of thing.
Yeah, regarding wine, it's for his stomach or his digestive system, because he often fell ill, yeah. And the relationship seemed to be with the water. The reason for him falling ill is to do with the water. And so drink a little bit of wine. Yeah, it's for that reason. For the digestive system, maybe he had diarrhea. I think we all suffer from this, if the water is unclean. Yes. Or you see those in Africa, the children often died of diarrhea because the water was filthy. So it's in that context, health context. But it is with modesty, not over drinking. Because Paul told Timothy in chapter 3 with regards to the overseers, verse 3, and I read from the Chinese, is do not drink, but we read in English because the Chinese may not be properly translated in 5:3, yeah? So, 3:5, beg your pardon. 3:5. So, find it now. 3:3. Yeah. I'm just got it. Not given to excesses from wine. Obviously, excessive wine may cause someone to be drunk. Not fond of money, we'll come to that later. So this is for the overseer's conduct, okay? For the deacon, the conduct is in verse 8. Minister, that's the deacon, in like manner, brave, not double tongued, not given too much wine. So it seems to me the conduct at that time is the excessiveness of wine. It's all right to have the wedding, Cana, and have wine. But here, it's in the context of the church, the conduct of everyone, how to conduct yourself in the house of God. So, it's not only for Timothy, but for the church to know that, you know, excesses of wine is not recommended. But here, Paul recommends wine. It's for a different reason, for his health. So we can, so, you know, because of the previous chapter, it sort of laid down the conduct of the overseers and deacons with regards to excessiveness of drinking. And people can take it as like a law, you know, not even wine, that we can't even touch wine. It's not like that. Because God is not like that. You can also read this, the feeling of God in verse 18. God cares for the oxen. In chapter 5, God cares for the oxen. Will he not care for his servants, his workers? Yeah. So it's God's feeling, God's mercy and love is not, it's the life of God. It's not an outward do's or don't that we have to stick to. So it seems because we have already shared that from verse 4 onwards is something to do with how we ought to conduct ourselves in the house of God. Yeah. So even though this may be a bit, if we read 23 in verse in chapter 5, it may not be linked to previous about the elders, accusation of the elders, and the judgment. But here it seems that Paul just think of Timothy at that time. He was not well at all, and it could be due to this sickness, could be due to the dirty water with bacteria. I think it's in that context. Mm. It's not something that we should not or cannot do. Mm. It's all in, is it beneficial to our health? I think we can say that, isn't it? Some people say, oh, smoking is not sinful, but is it helpful? Is it health? Is it something that we would do to benefit our health? Okay. So with regards to 21, there's a God, Jesus Christ, and the elected angels. Now, who will judge? It is God and Jesus Christ. And will this elected angels judge? I don't think so. They're not there to judge because they're under God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Elected means those angels who have not fallen with Satan. They still serve God faithful. When we read in the epistles about angels, like First Corinthians, with regards to the covering of hair of the sisters, is for the angels to see. This is the obedience, the authority of obedience to God, to the angels who have not fallen. And the fallen angels have fallen, but for those angels who have not followed Satan, for them to see the church, there is a restoration of this subjection or submission to God, to his authority. And the angels, elected angels also, as in Hebrews, they are serving spirits. They serve us. They serve the saints. They serve the church. They serve each one of us. So they are there to serve as well. Not only to serve God, but to serve us. So the only judge is God and Jesus Christ. And the angels are there to see, to watch over, And since they are truthful to God, faithful to God, so they know the ways of Satan, that is the fallen angel, don't want to obey because they didn't want to rebel God. So they were there to watch us, watch the church. Those who are overseers, anyway. They serving according to God? Are they submission? Are they submitting God, the authority?
Yeah.
So the angels will see that, because they know what is the authority of God to submit to God. So they were there to see that, to watch over us. Because the final authority judging is God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So in terms of the judgment, proper judgment, as we shared in 21, no prejudice or faith which is on. I think we all know prejudice and favoritism. You remember Jacob favored, you remember Isaac favored Jacob more than Esau. Is that right? His father.
Did you?
His father, Isaac, favored
Esau,
more than Jacob. Is that right?
Yes, the mother.
The mother favored Jacob more than Esau. That's favoritism between parents. So I'm sure it must happen between brothers and sisters. Yeah. Particularly, I don't think brothers were favoritism over sisters, because brothers tend to stay with the brothers. The brothers will have certain favoritism and prejudice among ourselves, speaking as a brother. Now, so what I'm trying to say is that if we allow ourselves to carry out our judgment, or our how to manage things, we may carry favoritism and prejudice. But God will never have favoritism or prejudice.
Yeah.
And we cannot, if we have a prejudice, we have to commit our prejudice to God, because God has no prejudice. If we have a favoritism, we need to commit our favoritism to God as a judge. He has no favoritism. So if we discover that we have a favoritism or prejudice, we need to bring it to God, who is the judge, and Jesus Christ is the judge, not us. Okay? So I think for the angels, they obviously sit there with God. I mean, they were watching, they were with God and Jesus Christ there, over the church. And I'm not quite sure what they would do if they are the serving spirits. So I'm sure they will serve faithfully for us. They will not have prejudice or patriotism when they serve. Okay. I think verse 22 explains this. Do not be quick. Verse 22, do not share with other people's sin. So you know that if you are quick in your judgment, you say do not lay hands in a rush, as it were, because you don't want to show favoritism. You may do it with a prejudice or with favoritism. So do not do this in a rush. It means that wait before God to see His will, not out of yourself, and keep thyself pure. So this is the way to keep yourself pure. That is, leave it with God. Wait before God. And then I think the last few times someone shared that about this sin, verse 24. With some sins are manifested beforehand, before the judgment, in verse 24. And some sins manifest after, that is, after this person, who sinned. So there are sins manifested, there are sins not yet manifested. And verse 25, also there are good works manifested beforehand, and also there are good works hidden, but to be manifested. So this is very fair, very about prejudice. We ourselves sometimes think that, oh, if I have got something good, some good works, I must show it to everybody. No.
Yeah.
It's not like that. Because if your good works is hidden, as God always watch those hidden, like prayer, not the outward. And it will be manifested before Him one day, the good works. Sin is for judgment. Good works, God will also judge, but you know, the outcome will be totally different with good works and with sin. So, Paul was saying to Timothy, don't lay hands on elders, for elders, quickly. Yeah, or no man, he says, verse 22, not just the elders. Yeah. Because you don't want to, you don't want to, like, with prejudice or favoritism, you partake in their sins. There is a danger. So what Paul is telling Timothy, don't take things outwardly, not just the outward thing. Some sins are so obvious that you can see now. But there are sins that are not so outward, they're hidden, and they will be manifested. So, you know, if you lay hands on someone that is identified with that person in laying hands on this person has sinned, but hidden, you don't know. You're identifying with this person's sin, which is not manifested yet. So we need to, I think we were sharing about having two more trustees. So they, you know, Paul said, lay hands on nobody, not quickly, yes. So we have to wait, we have to pray for this matter of trusteeship. Certainly the conduct of this person is so important before God. Okay, let's finish it.
Prejudice and favorite. So those are very difficult words for me, so I just use fire and digest it with those difficult words. So I think it's like quite an interesting sentence here, because I think every like mature people, we don't think that, or we don't think that we would do things with a bias, such as maybe if I want to buy a car, I will always think that I buy the, like, my decision is smart, and then I don't buy it with bias, and so I think this is a quite a common thing, but if it is mentioned here, I think it's special, because it's the house of God, so we need to be extra care with how we maybe judge people. So when I was young, I always think that it's like in the Corinthians, we have read it before, First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, it says, but the spiritual discerns all things, and he is a discerner of no one. So when I was young, I always think that a mature Christian is like some sort of master, or he's really, how to say, he don't talk to others, and then he knows everything, he knows what's seen inside you, something like this. But when we come to here, we know that it's not the case, because the Lord clearly says that we all have our nationality, and we all have this on fire. So I think the key point is that we have to remain ourselves in the church and in the fellowship. I think it's very important. Like such as like we experienced a lot of things recently, and then we know that even the leading brothers, they have different opinions. But I think it's really good because God puts, I think like we have our own limitation. So although we have a clear seeing, but when we are inside the church, I think we have to keep fellowship with each other, and then to I think the fellowship is not like talking bad things about brother and sister, not the gossip. Like it's like you really want to lay down yourself, delight yourself, and then really want to know what God put in people's heart, in their seeing, and then because you love the church, and then you really want, and you know your limitations. So I think it's really important. I know a brother which is quite close to God, and then he's quite close to God, so he wants to know like what is God's purpose on the church, and then he really wants to find a good church, but for some reason he can't find it. Yeah, so he really thinks that when I talk to him, I really find that he's very close to the Lord, and then he read a lot of Bible, and then that sort of thing. He's really good, very independent, have spiritual seeing, but in these 2 years he can't find a perfect church So he didn't go to church. So after these 2 years, he gradually, when I fellowship with him, gradually become more extreme, and then more, his ideas become more weird. Although he still reads the Bible, read some like really good, spiritual book. Yeah, to make sure that he knows God's will and sort of thing. But I think it's quite dangerous because he's not in the church, not in the fellowship, although, he's still pursuing. So I think, in order to keep ourselves, not have this prejudice, not have this favoritism, I think the best thing is to keep ourselves in the fellowship and then always deny ourselves. No matter how I think that I see it very clearly, but still have to like wait and then fellowship, and then really willing to know what God putting this seeing in brother and sister's heart.
Yep. Not sure whether I can follow on, but I also have the some sharing on this favoritism as well. I totally agree that like we all have our own opinion on things as well. In Chinese, there's a saying called 瞎子摸象, so basically it's a blind man to feel the elephant. So someone can feel the trunk, someone can feel the tail, someone can feel the ears, and someone can feel the legs. So everyone say that is an elephant, but they only can feel what they can feel. They cannot see the whole picture. What I want to try to bring a point is what brother and sister already shared. We do have our own opinion that probably not wrong, but probably not the whole picture as well. And it's only God who can see the whole picture, and it's only God who knows about people's heart. So for this moment, that present can be fine, but we don't know about future either. It's like, in here talking about laying hands, that my thought is as usually very chaotic, so bear with me. So, it just make me think about, back in the days, Samuel has been called to, anoint David, and when he went to Jesse's house, there's seven very nice big brothers that he thought the first one will be, but God say no until like at the end, like Jesse needs to bring us David to be back, and he say that God looks people, does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So like we are not God, so we can only see things according to their actions, how they look or how they present, and how they can irritate us that we don't like, which is always the case, that they don't even need to talk too much, that you already explode quite easily. It's just like we have our own feeling that is quite fleshy, that continuously God is actually dealing with us. So I think, like, bring back to last week sharing that, like, do we have the same feeling as God do? Probably a lot of time, feeling always go ahead before we seek of God's will. And as Brother mentioned, like, it's so important to stay in the fellowship, because if we are staying on our own, we always think we are right. And if we don't share our fellowship with brother sister because they have a different opinion with us, we only stay with those who have the same opinion or being as us, and we will even stay in the fellowship. We can still be extreme, and eventually we can have various division because we think we want to support this brother and sister, and he or she want to support that brother and sister, and eventually like Satan still can work with us. So that is important, that whether it is with the elderly or with the brother and sister, we need to stay in the Lord, like just now sharing, like talking is very, very dangerous about talking about other brothers and sisters, because I feel like if there's no love in there, we are talking about matters and how our plans are. And I feel we can add on more opinion instead of helping the situation. And it can misinterpret it and become something that people can talk about. And the key on seeing the wills of God and to building up the church is to pray together for the matters that we can see the seeing of God, even if the bad things, that it can bring out the good, that can continue glorify His name. And I find it's very interesting that from 21 to 22, and suddenly there's like Timothy being advised not to drink wine, and suddenly come back to the scene. I'm not sure why this is in the middle. So if someone can tell me, that would be great. But it's just like, it's a laying hands. Like, I don't think we lay hands on people in our church. I know there's still in some other churches that they lay hands to make them become a pastor or something. But in here, we always talk about the spiritual authority, and it is really only when God speaks that we know who will be the one that is really God's raised up. And if we are judging according to, even it is the point that Paul said advised Timothy, like from beginning of the chapter, like all previous chapters, like you can take all the boxes, and like what it says on 24, like some things are not obvious. They can do everything, but you really don't know what was the motivation behind it, or whether they are really in the Lord, because it is so much easier to do things outwardly than building the relationship with God that have the heart like a shepherd to build up the church. And it is not for us to judge anyone what they've done or what they have not done. But in here, like the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not cannot be hidden. Like eventually it will reveal, like no matter how. It just takes time. So I think the the key is like when we stay in the fellowship, how we can always need to pray to God. I think to me, men's are just complicated. Exhaustion after meeting together sometimes. But it is like, it is a reminder for me to pray before we meet together. Because Satan can use any single thing to flare up people. Even a little conversation can suddenly flare up a whole big matter. And we just need to keep praying to God that, we won't be easily be, delusion from Satan that anything can be a destruction for God's work.
Well, this is in front of me. Just verse 22, I think the most important thing there, where it says, keep thyself pure. I mean, it's only three words, but it's, you know, most important, isn't it, to keep oneself pure, especially in the church. And previously to that, it says, lay hands suddenly on no man, and then neither be partaker of other men's sins. I mean, the second part of that, do not be a partaker of other men's sins. I mean, that's so obvious, isn't it? But sometimes we can easily become entangled in matters which we shouldn't get ourselves involved in. And as a result, so don't be a partaker in other men's sins. Don't get yourself entangled or embroiled in other people's. Sometimes, I'm not sure how to say it, but I think you understand what I'm saying. You know, sometimes we can easily, innocently at first, be involved in something and then, you know, it turns out that, you know, it's not so simple. So, for us to be careful. And then the laying on of hands suddenly, I kind of looked that up this morning because one of the things of the laying of hands, is to commission somebody to service. You know, with God's authority, whatever it may be, and to, I think what Brother mentioned earlier on, is to wait upon God, isn't it? To choose and to, you know, whoever God wants to serve in that position, rather than just, do it quickly, but rather wait upon the Lord, isn't it? For the Lord's choice. Because we did read in previous chapters about, you know, be careful for, you know, there may be novices, people new to the faith, and they need to grow in faith, isn't it, before they can take on certain responsibilities. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I think there's so many points that, you know, I really want to follow on, but maybe just the first one, talk about no favoritism or no partiality, verse 21, and the point talk about, I think to put ourselves into the body, it is important. I think that's what brothers and sisters want to share. You really want to put yourself in to the body. Okay, so I mean, whatever it is in your mind now, I don't think I need to explain that. And also, not just putting yourself in, but, you know, be ready to have fellowship led by the Holy Spirit. It is important, I think. And we can actually chat, you know, a lot of the things. I think, you know, on Sunday, I think consecutively 2 weeks mentioned something like we shouldn't actually just stick to, you know, what we are, you know, in our comfort zone. And, you know, just now mentioned it as well, that, you know, we tend to just, you know, share with people that, you know, have same opinion or not say no to us, perhaps. But, you know, just now, I mean, brother and sister mentioned it so clear that, you know, deny ourselves, bear the cross, that's what, you know, led by the Holy Spirit in fellowship. You know, when we actually seek fellowship, we should be open, you know, have 50-50, you know, in our minds. And, you know, when we share, you know, even though that I know, you know, the natural self would be when people say something that which is not what we thought, and then we will just boom, like, you know, well, I'm not going to continue. But I mean, hopefully, you know, more and more that, you know, we're led by the Holy Spirit, and more that, you know, we will learn that, and we will be ready and be open, you know, to what God say, I think. That's the main thing. It's not actually what, you know, men say. I mean, if we always just, you know, learn to just rely on men say, we never learn how to see what God sees. And I think that's what the point just now mentioned, that, you know, no favoritism, no partiality. It is a lot of time, do we really care what God cares, or do we really care what God sees? And how God do things? What's God's way? I think this few weeks, no matter it's sharing meeting, no matter it is, you know, on the Sunday, the 3 o'clock meeting, we touch on that a lot. I think God spoke to us a lot. And whether, how are we going to learn together and to make this like part of us? I think that is, you know, that's something that, you know, we really have to learn by practicing, which is, you know, we really have to really learn it. I think the fundamental thing is to bear the cross, which is, you know, deny ourselves, bear the cross, which is something that, you know, probably I feel myself really lacking as well. So it's really, you know, that is something. And you know, when just now mentioned about the consequence is huge or very severe. When I'm not going to read verse 21 again, but it's in front of God and, you know, all the partiality in heaven, you know, saying this, don't, you know, be prejudiced. Don't just, you know, act like that. And the consequence, just now say consequence, it is, you know, it could be severe. And totally, just now, you know, when sister mentioned it, or brother and sister mentioned it, you know, I'm thinking of, I witnessed it, and it harmed the relationship between brother and sister. It harmed the body, I mean. Sometimes beyond repair, shouldn't, but, you know, it's man, sometimes beyond repair. And who we? Satan we. And then, at the end of the day, the witness, the testimony is not there anymore. It might not be even be able to continue sometimes. So it the consequence is huge. And it our Lord will be very in grief. And so definitely, you know, something that, you know, I say amen just now. And when we thought about that, then how are we going to led by the Holy Spirit? Then I kind of, you know, thought of two verses in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 8. You don't have to flip. I can actually, you know, read it out. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So it is either destruction or, you know, or eternal life. This is our choices. And how are we going to, you know, make our choices? And if we really want to, you know, led by the Holy Spirit, then, you know, I continue to think about that. And then, you know, led by the Holy Spirit, it is really, you know, learning, practicing every day. In your everyday life, in your workplace, at home, particularly in the church. And when we actually, you know, interact with one another, or perhaps maybe we are meeting up, or maybe even, you know, when we are actually in the meeting, are we actually learning led by the Holy Spirit? Or we are in our comfort zone. We are not actually coming out of the comfort zone. We say no a lot of time. And then, you know, no matter it is, you know, your relationship with people, or maybe, you know, you are in a meeting or in a service, it's hard to have a breakout. It is, I always say it is, you know, it is one sense. So the more that we actually learn in every single situation with other everyone, you know. And with the Lord, it is led by the Holy Spirit. More and more, you're more and more sensitive. More and more that you are snuffish, you're not really learning to learn, the more that you are actually stay in your own bubble. Like just now Brother mentioned, you know, stay in your bubble, the more that you, man will replace God. And God won't actually have a say in what, whatever you do and you're in your service. And that is, you know, a huge consequence, you know, to bear, for individuals, I think. So I think that for that, and, for, the laying hands, we haven't seen the laying hands too much, the action, but, you know, to me in here that, you know, the laying hands, probably it is laying hands for actually anointing the elders, or the deacons, you know, in the church, which is maybe, the actual action itself, it would be done by the leading brothers or, you know, the leading people. But I mean, it doesn't mean that I don't have, I'm not the leading one, but so I'm the little one. So what is my little part? My little part will be, we can have a heart to pray. We can have a heart to recognize. I think, bodily recognition, it is important. We learn that. And then I think of, you know, in Antioch, Acts chapter 13, if you have chance, or maybe you remember it, how did they actually pray and, you know, to learn to lead by the Holy Spirit and to find out that which is, you know, they are sending out Barnabas and Paul, you know, that kind of the seeking God together, the corporate seeking God together, it is very remote to us because I haven't actually experienced much of it. I'm not sure if brothers and sisters in here experienced much of it. Maybe I missed it. I don't know, but I haven't. And but that is something that really, you know, it is for us to learn together. And I probably will have my small parts, you know, to put into it, even so that I'm not the person to lay hands on anyone. However, you know, there's another thing as well, that how are we going to accept co-worker? Now, we are in our group service or perhaps maybe in different corner of our service. How do we actually accept people to be our co-worker? I think there's something that which is, you know, along the line that in here, the, you know, the learning as well. So there's a lot to learn. And, but the main thing in here in verse 22 would be, you know, keep yourself pure. That means, you know, how, that means it's no impurity, and this is a not substance of man, but, you know, it is the substance from God. And I think that is something that is a lot to learn, and, you know, we can actually, you know, pray and think about. For 23, just now brother saying that, you know, a lot of the Christian might use it, you know, to be the excuse that they can actually drink wine. Maybe, you know, they think like that. But I read some of the reference books, and they mentioned that, you know, these so-called, you know, not only just have a little bit of the wine, you know, to ease the stomach. It is Paul knowing that, you know, Timothy, you know, has a health issue, and that wine, it is not any wine that, you know, to please yourself or maybe, you know, to have pleasure, but it is some kind of the medicine. But anyway, I say amen definitely to the point that we should actually look after, you know, our holy temple, which is, you know, the body that, you know, the Lord actually gave to us to serve. And, you know, that is something that which is we all, you know, have our part. I have no idea, why, you know, all the verses, and then at the end, you know, will be verse 23 to 20 and also 24. Sorry. I don't actually have, anything to add on to that. But remember a lot of things that no matter it is favoritism, impartiality, or maybe, you know, in the past, whatever we have mentioned in the whole chapter, in between relationships in the church, we should actually use the relationship to, you know, witness God and be God's testimony. But anything in between, even so that we think that we can actually put it under the carpet, it's not. It's not hidden. That's what, how I actually see verse 24. There's nothing hidden in God's eyes. So even though people didn't know, but God knows. And consequence can be severe. And may the Lord's, you know, testimony be able to, carry on, you know, generation by generation. And we are part of it that, you know, we have a positive impact on that.
I just want to add on quickly. We share on Elijah. He complained to God that he was the only one left. And God told him, you are not the only one left. There were 7,000 others who have not bowed or kissed Baal. And if we read Romans 11, it explains this. 7,000 who have not bowed. You can read it, I just explained to you. It says that that these 7,000 are God's grace. They are kept by God's grace. It's not because they are so good. Yeah. Elijah was thinking that he was so good. Now he's left one person. But God say, no, these are the 7,000 being kept by me. They're kept by my grace. So I don't see anyone could say, oh, I can't find a perfect church. You know, you are the perfect one. Other people, church or Francis are perfect. Remember, if you think that you are the only one and you're not willing to walk on to a brother and sister, then you do not know God's grace and you're falling out of God's grace in not hearkening to God. There are 7,000 who are kept by my grace and you are also kept by my grace. You're not better than other persons. Also somebody said, as soon as you go into a church, the church may be perfect, but as soon as you go into and join them, the church becomes imperfect immediately. Why? Because you are so imperfect. You mix up, you got, put yourself into that church and you make it so imperfect. So just to say that, how can we be perfect if it's in Christ? It's not that we can make ourselves perfect in Christ. So it's all grace of God in Christ to keep the 7,000, keep us. I often think that the remnants in Romans 11 talks about these are the remnants. Actually, this was wrong. I now realize. I thought these remnants must be very good. We are very zealous and they bow to Baal under pressure. But since I know this remnant in all generations, in all the history of the church, they are kept in God's grace. They follow the law. They didn't bow, kiss Baal, or they didn't join with the earthly church. As we read later, the church can become commercialized. People just want, as we read in chapter 6, they want to make them commercial again. I would go along with walking with brothers and sisters, but I think most important is to pray. Yeah. And that on last Saturday, we didn't mention this for us to discuss the trustees. We mentioned this for us to pray. Without praying, don't discuss. And also, we need to know God has given us different functions in the church, different gifts. And we need to recognize that God places in the body of Christ with a different gift and function. Say if you are not eventually one of the new trustees, don't feel as if don't be hurt or don't feel you are being looked down upon. you actually may not be the right person to be in the trusteeship, but you still have a gift and function God has given you. You can still serve according to what has given you. So, and finally, I think the authority is from God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and down to those who are responsible brothers in the church. And we share this out lessons. Not because we are the final authority. We want brothers and sisters to pray. You know, pray. Just one more thing. We need to commit ourselves to God, ask God, God, I don't want to make a decision based on my prejudice and patriotism. It's only based on real judgment. Oh, coming back to mix up the Esau, Isaac and Rebecca. I got mixed up, sorry. You see, Rebecca didn't know how to raise up Jacob. She would borrow Jacob only. But we can see if Jacob is being raised up by God, how different. Yeah. Had to be dealt with for how many years? At least 20 or 30 years under Laban. Yeah. God can deal with. God can raise up a person. If you think that we can, that we can only spoil everything. We have to commit that person into God's hand. God can do it.
I know, verse 21, that we should be able to see that what is being presented or said to us, that this is a court in heaven. It's a heavenly court. It's not earthly court with human judgment. It's before God, before the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the angels are there, they are the witnesses. Just like in the previous verse, it says that don't entertain any accusation easily, you know, without, you know, two or three witnesses. So in the heavenly court, as if, you know, that verse, it is the heavenly court, you've got the Lord, you've got God, and you've got angels as witnesses. That God's judgment is not as if, you know, without any witnesses. Even as we see in this verse, that there are witnesses in the heavenly court. Yeah. Although we know God will not be wrong in his judgment, although we know that Christ will not be wrong in his judgment, but yet we know that even in the heavenly scene of, you know, in what we see here, that there are witnesses. There will be witnesses. And when you go on to the verses where it talks about, don't lay hands quickly, although it's easy for us to think about commissioning elders, deacons. At the same time, it is not, to me, it's not just the practice of laying hands. Yet, do not lay hands on people quickly. Do not rush into coming to a judgment or rush into things that you go ahead of God. When it says, do not partake in the sin of others, that is, do not partake in the mistakes that people make in rushing things. Judgment, views, opinions. Do not merely partake in the errors that people make. And here we know that, as that the saying, and so often, that time will tell. The things we see, you know, the things we judge and know, do they stand the test of time? Well, we think, oh, it's good, but time can tell whether it's really that good or not. Or we are very quick to dismiss something, time will tell whether we are right to have done so. Yeah. Like this, we are not God, yeah. But we have to look to God, you know, to teach us these things, to show us these things. And don't rush ahead of God. Yeah. To do that would be a mistake, a serious mistake. And that is what I believe. And this verse is meant to reflect for us. Especially in the methods, you know, to do with the church. And says, we are natural. We have our feelings. Yeah. So with our feelings, we'll have our bias, our prejudice. Don't deny that. That is how we are. But it's important to remind ourselves, go before God and find out. Don't just simply make your conclusion on your feelings, or prejudice. A lot of things, we need to come before God. And when it says, keep yourself pure after saying, do not partake in people's sins, basically, do not make the same error that people make by rushing into things. It's not basically just in basically rushing ahead of God. It's a mistake. Since it's poor that do not make such mistakes. And basically when it says keep yourself healthy, when Paul says drink a little bit of wine, that keeping yourself pure is not by abstaining from drink of wine. Yeah, it's not these outward things that we're talking about. Okay, as we say, that for Timothy to take wine on the grounds of medicinal, not recreation, not for your enjoyment. At the same time, it shows it something. And when why is this verse in the middle of the other verse, you find that the continuity is there. But it seems that when we see what is being placed on Timothy and what is asked of Timothy by Paul, especially when it says, I testify before God and Christ, that it is a great burden, since that Timothy is being asked that, but you find that it is not just that Paul's thought goes as it would have been, the thought of the Lord. That yes, the work is so important. Yes, and what he needs to do is mentally so great. But yet, you find that the thought for Timothy himself, his well-being, comes even before that. For us, if we are serving the Lord, as in for Nehemiah, the work we are doing is a great work. Yeah, it's God's work. The work is great. But don't forget, God is more mindful of his servant than the work, though great. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is when Paul puts this thought of Timothy, even Timothy's well-being, actually is important because this is how God sees it. This is God is more mindful of how we are than what we can do.
That sin, I think, includes verse 22, not to partake in other things. So I think it's anything to do with sin. And coming back to laying hands, I think this has been in the past years, we notice we don't practice is laying on hands. But the meaning of laying on hands is to identify. If you don't identify, don't lay hands on that person. And the way we come to a conclusion that we identify is not by a democratic means, by voting. As you remember, once a brother shared with you from East London, they were trying to choose a deacon, and they have a democratic way, that is voting. All the church voted yes, this brother, except one vote, say no. So the brother always felt very bad. There is someone in the church who didn't vote for to become a deacon. So it's not by democratic ways. It's the identify. In our church, I'm sure there are many opinions that we need to see before God. God who ordains.
So, we finish here, and I need to join you.